the most action-packed content from the top mobile experts. This is the App Masters Podcast with Steve P. Young.
Are you looking to make your in-app messaging more unique? Well, you can elevate your communication with Foji Custom Emojis. Designed from authentic content, their custom emojis convey genuine emotions and meanings. Whether it's for individual chats or mass communication, Foji seamlessly integrates across all your favorite platforms. Learn more by going to fojiapp.com. That once again is fojiapp.com. What is up, App Nation? Shout out to you, Demetrios. I'm still doing the countdown. I want to know from you guys if you like the countdown or not. I like it because obviously puts a little anticipation. But welcome to our weekly YouTube live streams where we break down what's working in the app space to give you the detailed strategies and tactics, not just the high level fluff, to show you how to grow your downloads and, more importantly, those revenues. And today I've got a phenomenal guest to talk all about subscription retention. He's got a great blog, retention.blog, to show you how to supercharge your subscription retention for those who are canceling into trial or those who activate in trial. How do you keep them engaged? And then how do you win them back? And a topic that I'm most interested in as well is localized global pricing. So without further ado, let's bring in Jacob. Sorry, Jacob. Rushfin. Here we go.
Hey, Steve. How's it going?
Welcome to the show. Let me give you a proper intro. Look, Jacob has been, I've been following his content on LinkedIn. It's phenomenal follows, phenomenal stuff. Make sure you connect with him or just give him a follow on LinkedIn. But he's been doing lifestyle marketing, product marketing, retention, and monetizations for startups like Elevate Labs, WordPress.com, Arnell, and Level Up. And he's also the driving force behind Balance, the 2021 Google Play Awards winner for best meditation app. So he's got a proven track record. And check out his blog that I will share with you, retention.blog, where he shares weekly insights on what's working from a retention perspective. So Jacob, there, proper intro done, my friend. How are you?
Amazing, love it. I'm doing great. Yeah, really appreciate you having me on.
Well, we got some people. What's up, Louise? Good to see you, Miguel. Richard's here. We got Sticky Games. Hi, Steve, can you talk about hard paywalls, please? Sure, maybe a little bit later. How about that, Jacob? Well, I love your, Rudy, good to see you. And David is here as well. All right, Jacob, let's start with just at a high level, and I know we talked before we went live, but at a high level, what are some subscription retention tactics that you've seen work pretty well?
Yeah, I mean, at a high level, it really starts in the beginning. Long-term retention is going to be influenced most by kind of the first 7 days, first 30 days, but really that first session, you can really kind of predict long-term retention, long-term kind of renewals just by that kind of early retention, early usage, and early monetization of cohorts. So, you know, the most important thing is creating a great early engaging experience. I think, you know, try to really get people to have like a deep experience on kind of that day zero, day one timeframe, and then figure out like what's bringing them back. I mean, you know, not every app has a kind of daily usage case, but you really want to figure out how to build a habit, right? What kind of actions, what can you learn about the user? How can you kind of drive that early usage engagement that makes them want to kind of return?
Yep. I like it. Have you seen an app? I'm going to pull up Jacob's blog right here, retention.blog. Have you seen an app that does a really good job of that first time user experience engaging with one? I know you have Flow here, which I'm a big fan of there. Onboarding and user journey as well.
Yeah. Flow is great. I don't think I'm not exactly the target demographic of Flow, but their, you know, onboarding experience is amazing, and kind of the depth of content and information they give to you. I really love Rise as well. Rise is an amazing hook. Rise Sleep Science. And they you know, they get so much information about you early on during that onboarding experience. They create all these super powerful hooks to kind of and have, we send a lot of push notifications, so it may not be right for everybody there, but the value they offer externally is kind of a great hook to bring you back. And so they kind of tell you when you should stop drinking caffeine to kind of make sure you kind of sleep well for the night and the day, or when your energy levels are going to be peaked or lower. And so that like instant value kind of outside of the app is a pretty cool and I think often unique case. And a lot of my work in the past kind of been in the lifecycle marketing world of email, push, in-app messaging. And so I really love when I see an app that can bring that value outside of the core product experience. Steve, you got to subscribe. If you scroll down, I think I have some different notifications that they show you. And so like they send a lot of notifications, but you know, thinking about how you can actually extend the value of your product outside of your product into email or notifications. And this is an amazing way to keep people engaged because, you know, they're not going to be using your app all the time. They're going to forget. So how do you kind of offer that value through notifications? And it's not always easy to do.
Yeah, agreed. And I think the missing piece is definitely email marketing. I know a friend of mine who added email marketing. Now you could skip Jacob, right? Like you could just say, hey, enter your email. And it was just like a MailChimp type of like pop-up. And you can hit X, but he saw that 50% of all the users were giving them his email, and he would email blast them like that day zero, day one. And he saw really good results coming from that email marketing campaign. And so I think developers are sleeping on it. I know I've talked about not forcing people to give you their email and that performing better, but I say, ask for it. I don't mind you asking for it, but just don't let force me to sign up before a paywall, because we have seen that the revenue goes down when you do force people to sign up before you show them a paywall.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, typically I think, you know, test and experiment with everything, but typically if you're starting off, yeah, put your account creation, right after your paywall. You don't want to block because, you know, you might lose like 20-30% of people coming through onboarding, that drop off, after that account creation. And so, you know, that's losing people that will see your paywall, but if you put it right after your paywall, you're also getting an opportunity to re-engage users who, didn't convert on your paywall if you don't have a hard paywall. And so that email re-engagement is going to be super powerful to kind of bring people back. Typically, I think email is much better for monetization, where push is better for kind of engaging and bringing people back. Feature usage and adoption, but email is, you know, probably your more powerful channel for monetization there. And like you say, that right when people sign up, send an email immediately. And that welcome email, that intro email, will be your best email forever. Yes. That'll be your most powerful email. And so spend time with that, and then also spend time with kind of your day one through seven flow. Send an email, you know, start with like once a day, you know, a mix of kind of driving usage and retention and monetization is a good place to start.
I love it. All right, let's answer Sticky Games' question. Can you talk about hard paywalls? What are your thoughts on hard paywalls?
Yeah, so I think hard paywalls can be a great early tactic for your app. They're going to drive better monetization because, you know, you're blocking all content, but you're going to limit long-term scale where, you know, your free users are valuable for your app. Free users can tell other people about your app if they love it and bring new users in for kind of free acquisition. And over time, you can also build out other monetization tactics to have those users convert long-term. And so if you need to figure out early monetization, hard paywalls can be fine. But I think over time you want to maybe test out removing it and building out a freemium experience where I think that is has a higher ceiling for kind of long-term scaling. And I actually, I was just at Mobile Apps Unlocked, and I saw a great presentation. Let me try to find it, from a guy working at PicPoc, Felix. Can I share the link to the presentation in the chat? Is that
yeah,
a good
yeah.
place?
You can do it through a private chat, and I can pull it up too.
Okay. I'll share in the chat. People can check out later. Looks like I have to connect to YouTube. I'll share in the private chat, and you can share it with people later.
Yeah, I can put it into. If you just share it in the private chat, put it into.
Cool. Yeah, YouTube I think it's a great overview of how they think about hard paywalls and kind of their journey. It's a kids kind of kids app, kids educational app, and I think it's a way better explanation than I can do. And any illustrates the difference between soft and hard paywalls.
Oh, got really it. It's a video. I love it. Okay. Well, I completely agree with everything you just said. Everything. Literally. So here is some data points for one of our apps. We had a hard paywall. We launched with it. I was actually against a hard paywall, Jacob. But my business partner, he was like, okay, how we built it. And I was like, okay, well, I don't want to change anything, right? Like I'm always, let's use the data to inform their decision. So let's not change anything. So it worked, right? We took this app that was making about $1,000 a month, put a hard paywall. It was only charging a one-time fee of $3. That's why, but we increased it to $60 a year. So that's why we see that big increase. But anyways, a hard paywall did pretty well and brought it to over 10,000 within the first month. And then when we had a soft paywall with an X, the revenues dropped down to 5,000. It was started happening here. So you can see why it started leveling off down here. So mid-July, we had a soft paywall and then went down. Then when we went back to a hard paywall, you can see the revenues back up. But you can see it's starting to decline too. So I agree with you. Like it's a great early just to test that your product market fit because you're forcing people to buy it. But in the long term, I would probably move towards that. And I've my newest app that I've launched, we went with the soft paywall, not a hard one.
Nice. Yeah, and I think with the hard paywall, it's all about that pre-paywall experience and having a kind of a great onboarding flow to showcase the value and really educate people on what they're going to get and get them excited, where you can't just slap a paywall on and expect people to be excited or convert. And so, you know, a hard paywall is you have to invest real time in that pre-paywall experience and spend a lot of time optimizing that.
I love it. All right. What's up, 303? Happy Friday. Daniel's here. Got Ritesh, and then I do want to give a shout out to Martin in India. Hi, Steve. I'm finally joining live for the first time after watching so many of your videos. Super excited. Good to have you here live, Martin, as well. All right, Jacob, let's talk about trial cancellations. You know, on average, what's a good trial start rate that we should be aiming for from install? And then what is a good trial cancel or trial retention rate we should be aiming for as well?
Yeah. 10 to 20% trial start, and then above 20% trial conversion is a good place to be. You know, this all kind of depends on your price points as well. Higher price points, you can afford to have a little lower conversion rates, and you will, but you're monetizing better. Lower price points, you know, those numbers can be a little higher. I think you also, sometimes I see apps with like, you know, a 5% trial start rate, but a 50% trial conversion rate. And so those numbers are tied together. You know, if you improve and get more people, you know, for that app specifically, you know, if they're, you know, if they can move their trial start rate to 10%, you know, that's like double, their trial conversion rate is gonna go down. They just kind of lower intent users. But overall, it should still be positive. So you think about these things aren't just independent of each other.
Yeah, I love it. And then what are some, whoops, let me bring him in. It's like weird listening to somebody when I see them. What are some good tactics for those people who are activating a trial? Obviously, they showed some intent. They activated it. How do you win them back? What have you seen work on that end?
To win them back for kind of drive that trial conversion?
Yeah, like, you know, people who've actually canceled the trial.
Oh, for people who have canceled the trial.
Yeah.
So, you know, that one's tough. Yeah. I mean, I think your biggest lever there will probably be discounts. I think that, you know, if you have a free experience, you can try to monetize them longer term. But I think, you know, after they cancel their trial, if it's still active, you should figure out like, there's two sets of users. I mean, there's many sets of users, but in this case, an easy distinction is people who cancel their trial and stop using your app and people who cancel their trial and continue using their app. So some, there's so many subscription products out. A really common behavior right now is canceling your trial immediately just so it doesn't auto subscribe and you forget about it. And so you want to think about these sets of users differently. The people who cancel immediately and still using your app, there's still opportunity there to kind of keep them. And so not all users are the same. If they're not using your app anymore, like, you don't really stand a very good chance to win them back. And look, like, you're not going to retain everybody. So, like, you know, you can try with some win back campaigns, like, you know, give them the 50% discounts. But the real opportunity is when you should spend more of your time is the people who cancel and continue using. And still discounting will be a great approach there, but really see if you can drive usage and the same kind of retention engagement tactics that you'd apply to a normal user about educating about product features. And so if you can get them kind of hooked and retained and using your free experience, then you kind of stand a chance. I think, you know, when they're losing their trial, when they're losing access to premium features, you know, really let them know what they're losing access to. Use loss aversion. And then, like, during that trial experience, try to drive usage of your premium features. Because if they're not using premium features, when they cancel, you know, who cares, right? They're getting all they need. And so really try to show the value of those premium features. And then at that, time when the trial ends, let them know what they're actually losing access to. Because people don't always know what's a premium feature and what's not. And so some people will go, I really like that. I'm actually willing to pay now. And so it's important to kind of just educate people because, you know your product, but you can't expect everybody else to understand everything so intricately.
Yep. Past client of mine, I won't say who, but shout out to you and you know who you are. But anyways, he said the same exact thing, Jacob. He said he visually shows what's premium content versus what's not premium content, whether you're subscribed or not. So even when you're subscribed, he shows you this is premium content because if you unsubscribe, this goes away. So if you like this content, it has a little premium a part of it too.
Yeah. And past roles, like we've seen wins with just like changing how the lock graphic appears on a piece of content or like changing the overlay or graying out content that's locked to make the visual distinction very clear. And so little changes there to make it more obvious what's premium and what's not can be effective.
Yeah, super effective. I mean, obviously, like I like it. So I want to hit home on a few things that you talked about too and give you guys some visuals. So one, to close the loop on the email side of things, this is one app. I won't show you which one app it was, but literally I signed up and said, welcome. And then Jacob, if you can't see it, it says Unlock Pro and then tries to get me to subscribe. And so literally look the same. It was the same day and just hours apart. They said, welcome, Steve. And then, hey, do you want to unlock your recipes and save 20% off? Friend of mine, Masood, so when people cancel a trial, you know when they've canceled the trial. So Masood, past podcast guest as well, great episode. You guys got to look it up. But he'll send a push notification with a discounted offer and he's seen really good results with this too. So
yeah, I think this is a good point where like pairing that push notification with in-app message.
Yeah.
And either triggering that push notification or showing that message to everybody when they actually go into the app and make sure that experience is connected. Like you can't, like when they tap the push notification, you know, do you have a deep link that opens up the paywall immediately? Or do you have it trigger a message to explain more what they're getting, but just make that journey back into the app seamless.
Yeah. Hey, Jacob, are you doing anything? Like you said, hey, when I love the distinction for those who cancel the trial right away because they just didn't want to renew it. And they're like, I just don't want to forget. Right. Like, and I want to try out the app. I just don't want to forget. Are you using any like tools to segment these users, to treat them differently? What are you doing? From a tools perspective, that's a question I get often too.
From a tools perspective, yeah, I mean, I probably use RevenueCat most often, and send that data back to. I mean, the biggest players are Mixed Panel, Amplitude, and then there's tons of different kind of engagement platforms like on enterprise level. My favorites are Iterable and Braze. And so, I'll have native integrations with those tools where we can just send that all that data, kind of analyze usage there, and then trigger different campaigns based on usage. I think Iterable and Braze are a little expensive for a lot of people to get started. And so, I mean, there's really so many different engagement kind of tool options out there. So I don't know if I need to go on all of them.
Do you have a favorite?
I mean, Iterable and Braze are my favorite but the enterprise level. I started using Pushwoosh more. Pushwoosh. I think it's a very cheap and affordable tool to get started with. I like them a little better than OneSignal for kind of early apps. I think their pricing is a lot more approachable. They're not probably right for scale, and kind of they're missing some features, but they're pretty solid. I think Customer.io is an amazing tool. Medium tier, kind of in pricing. But I haven't actually used them myself for mobile. I used to use them years ago for kind of web products, but I think they've really pushed and built out their mobile capabilities in the last few years. And I think they're a solid product. CleverTap is kind of medium tier. Okay. CleverTap's okay. I think they can get the job done, but sometimes it's not the most like intuitive UI.
Right. I mean, I would say I get this question, Jacob, and I'm like, just do what you can with what you got, like depending on scale. Cause sometimes I feel like developers, especially earlier, they're like, oh, I want to get everything right. I want like get downloads, you know, get revenue, get all this stuff. Worry about all that stuff when you've actually figured everything else out from a paywall perspective, from a monetization perspective. And then start thinking about customer.io or Pushwoosh, because then that becomes valuable. Like right now, you don't know anything.
Yeah. Your product, like, look, you can have all the marketing you want, but your product is the most important thing. Make a great product. Everything else then comes a lot easier. And so, like, you know, your basics are probably like Revenue Cat, attribution tool, and then Amplitude or Mix Panel. You know, they both have great free options. And they're probably top, like, you don't really need to go to anywhere else for kind of your product analytics when you're starting off.
Yeah, agreed. Love that. Okay, let's talk about your cool presentation that you did at MAU, Mobile Apps Unlocked. And we're going to talk a little bit about global pricing. Whoa, hold on. How do I exit this part? You slideshow. It took over my... All right, I don't know how to presenter mode. Let's see this. How do I get out of this? I don't want this slide taken out of this view slideshow.
Maybe I might be able to share my screen if that's helpful. I can try.
Okay. Why don't you do it? Because every time I try to present, it takes over my other monitor. Here. I've got this. What should I press? Presenter view?
Presenter view. I think that you can.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Whatever. Let's go.
I can still see you. So
I know you can see me, but now I can't see you and I can't see the comments because it's taken over my other monitor, but that's neither here nor there. Go for it.
Okay. I think the impetus of this really was you can skip ahead a couple, but really the impetus is like if you're not a large company, you can't do this in-depth kind of global research on how you should price your app in different markets. And, maybe you all realize, but like the normal Apple and Google kind of pricing suggestions, pricing conversions for other countries are bad. And they don't take into account really much at all. They're pretty much the same. And so for me starting off as kind of US app, we start with our US price points and then, usually you just go, okay, Apple and Google should know what they're talking about. I'll just let them convert my prices for all the other countries. But I, did a lot of research and analysis because, I didn't have the time to do all this market research and do all this testing. And oftentimes you don't have enough volume of new users in other countries to do real price A/B testing or in a reasonable time frame. And so I did a lot of competitive research and top apps that have the volume and have the research, and kind of found a bunch of kind of high level guidance for how you should kind of price your apps. So yeah, if you keep going,
where do you want me to go?
Yeah, next slide. And so yeah, took all these apps, looked at their price points in a bunch of different countries, and then go like two more slides, and then yeah, started US pricing. Keep going. Pull all this data, put it onto a spreadsheet, and then you're building an index. Really, is what you're doing. A kind of price index. And then, so if you go to the next slide.
So wait, this is just like, okay, this is conversion to US. Oh, okay, so you said, hey, this is 49, so it's a little bit less. So UK is about 90% of the US, and then France is about 80%. So, this is all just, US is the denominator.
Right, so US is the main point. And so I'm starting with my US price points. I have the highest volume there. I've done real price testing and real A-B testing to optimize that US price point. So I know that price point I feel good about. So I'm not going to convert based on there. And then also, like, US is often your largest market anyway, kind of highest ceiling. And so it makes sense to start there. And then kind of based on those conversion rates, I found from all these top apps, a number of different categories, what they're doing, and kind of built this index out. And so you can see that, actually, if you go to the next slide, we can see the real difference in Apple's pricing. So Apple suggests that you should be about 26% higher than the US dollar. And so this is saying that based on the conversion rate and based on Apple's pricing, so, you know, Apple, I think, actually says, like, the price point should be like 1-to-1. So if your app is $59.99, in the pound should also be $59.99. Well, the pound is worth a lot more, and so it ends up being much more expensive. And so really, based on my suggestions, you tap one more, the slide will build out and kind of show you the difference. And like, so really, based on my guidance, most top apps are actually pricing their UK price about 10% lower, and their euro price about 15% lower. You know, this the euro, there's a lot of countries in the euro, so this can change a little bit. Like, some apps will price Germany a little higher just because the purchasing power is a bit higher. But Canada, for example, Canada, the US dollar versus the Canadian dollar, you know, the Canadian dollar is not as strong. And so again, Apple's pricing is just saying, if you have $59.99 in US dollar, make it $59.99 Canadian. But really, the purchasing power between Canada and the US is very similar. And so your Canadian price point should actually, be the same in terms of dollars. So, that means that, like, if it's $59.99 US, it should be like $89.99 Canadian because of that purchasing power. And so, I won't go through all of these in detail, but you can share these slides after, and if people want to take a screenshot, if you go to the previous slide, this is kind of just high level guidance of good places to start. You can use this as just, and these are a lot of big global markets, right? And so it's a good place to start. But really, what you should do, because this is a kind of global index taking a lot of different categories, you should do your research on your big global competitors and find their local price points yourself, and find for your category, where there's lots of differences in the categories and the industries where these conversions might not make 100% sense. These are good, broad suggestions and a good place to start, but really, what you should go and do is, find like your top two biggest kind of global competitors. And then go and really, there's no substitute. You have to go into the app store. You have to change your country after you download the apps and go in and see what their price points are. There's not really great tools to see what live price points they have. Tools like Sensor Tower, you can see like overall, like what the top five subscriptions are in different markets, but you don't actually know what they're showing in their app today. And so you really got to spend the time to go and do this research and then build your own index and use that to adjust your price points around the world. And I think that can offer you a lot of value to kind of really make your app much more localized and have the price points feel much better. And really, like, you know, okay, where do I start? Well, there's probably markets and countries that you're converting really poorly.
Yeah.
There's, you know, maybe your product doesn't make sense in those markets. Maybe there's cultural differences. Maybe there's language differences. But a lot of times you're just pricing completely wrong, and your app is way too expensive compared to local competitors. And so a lot of times adjusting those prices down can actually generate meaningfully more volume to account for the lower price point.
Yeah, I want to hit on this too. You know, a friend of mine, we have a community of app founders, and he was doing a lot of testing, and he actually increased his US pricing from 20, which is for years, and he increased it to 30, and he saw he saw an increase in conversions, Jacob, because of the higher price point. But when you put that 30 into like Australia, UK, the way that Apple does it, it's like not a rounded number. So like, let's say that turns into, I don't know, as an example, 32.99 in pounds, right? But what he found was having a rounded number, 29.99 pounds, is converted better than 32.99 pounds. So don't always go with whatever the Apple calculation is, because Apple is just doing what's best for them. It's just a math formula. Definitely do what Jacob said. Where is it? Right here.
Yeah. And you're exactly right. We're like, even if, let's say Apple says you should be, you know, $42, converting your price down a little bit to $39.99 will definitely perform better. It's little psychology tactics. You see it in every store. Every retailer has been doing it for the last 100 years. There's a reason it works. And you know, we all think, oh, I know I round up, but you know, we all succumb to these kind of little psychology and kind of little heuristics. And so it's just humans.
Well, speaking of meditation apps, 303 had this question too. So we'll talk about how do you get your first 100 users, but let's go on the pricing. Cause Jacob, you did talk about this. If I had a meditation app.
Yeah. And so this is like what I was talking about before of, you know, let's say you have an example of kind of finding your category industry specific competitors where, you know, Calm and Headspace, the biggest players, they're global. Go find their price points and then, yeah, go pick your top countries and your top markets where you're seeing the most volume right now. You know, you're not going to be able to do this manual research for 100 countries, but like 15 to 20 is doable. I don't know, hire an intern, get someone to do it for you. And then you can pull those price points and then kind of create your kind of quick index. So you kind of go into the app store, record those prices. If your competitors have a web subscription, you can do this a lot faster just using a VPN. But you should use this as one data point. Typically your web subscription pricing should be different than your app store pricing because the conversion different, there will be conversion differences. Mm-hmm. And so over time you should optimize those. I think often you can either offer a discount on your web subscription pricing or adjust your web subscription pricing a little down. One, because you take home more revenue, right? You're probably only paying 5% Stripe fees versus 30% or 15% Apple or Google tax. And so because the conversion is a little lower, you can boost that conversion by adjusting your price points down a little bit and then still get more users. And specifically for subscriptions, you know, the subscription is longer term, and so you want to generate that recurring revenue. So more users at a slightly lower price point is more valuable than, you know, a little price increase early on. But, you know, again, caveat with, you know, test and optimize, every product is different. But then on that next slide, Steve, there's kind of a simple explanation of what that creating the index looks like, where you pull all these prices. Okay, here's all your prices in different countries. You know, take your US price point, you know, simple math, just divide it, and then you have kind of your index, your multiplier to figure out what you should adjust your US price point to. And so this isn't taking account into like the dollar conversion rates or, you know, currency conversion rates. It's just numbers to numbers. Okay, for my US price point is $69.99 for the meditation app. This is Calm prices specifically. And so I go, okay, for India.
Jacob, this is the Calm prices in these countries.
It's the local currencies.
And then this is how you figure out the index of whatever you're trying to price. You can sort of either take the same pricing or, you know, make your own index out of it too.
Correct.
If your pricing is a little bit different.
Correct. And so for India, I go, okay, well, my price point's different. I just multiply it times 57. And that gets me to the whatever local currency number it is.
Whoops. Right here.
Yeah. And it's simple. Like where in the previous spreadsheet, you could see like, you know, I was doing all this currency conversions. I wanted to really understand what was going on. Here I just want to go, okay, what should the prices be? And so it kind of easier way to just get there faster.
And this is, I'm my own producer. So this is the other one.
You're doing great.
Thank you. I'm like looking at multiple screens. It helps having multiple screens too. Okay. Yeah. Cool. The is there a last point to this that I want to make sure?
I think that covers it. I think really like, you know, where do you start? I kind of talked about this a little bit. Like, you know, you're going to have markets that don't convert as well. There's less risk there.
Yeah.
So try there. I think, you know, large countries like India or Brazil with lower purchasing power, there's tons of untapped opportunities because there's so many people. You know, China's a little harder just because of the cultural differences, the app store differences. But so India and Brazil are usually like more untapped. And so like you're going to adjust your price points way down. You're probably, if you're starting in the US or starting in Western Europe, you're probably have a lot of, if you have a freemium product, we often see there's a lot of free users coming in, but they're like, no one's converting. And that's a great signal that your price points are just way off for that market.
Got it. I love it.
This is not the only way to kind of figure out price points without A/B testing. Check out the Van Westendorp price sensitivity kind of survey tool. There's tons of kind of resources online of how to conduct this, but it's four simple questions. And I think this is often very valuable when launching a new product where you don't have any data, but you maybe can get survey some users. And these questions, they kind of form, you see these kind of, you plot them out, you see where the intersection of these different price points are, and it really tells you kind of the range for where you can start pricing. And so I'd say, I feel like this is less done in consumer. I think this has been a tool that's used for a long time in B2B or more prosumer, but I think it still can be really valuable where in B2B and prosumer, you don't have as much data to do real price A/B testing, where in consumer, usually have more users coming in, more data points, and so people default to the A/B testing. But there's other tools out there, really, that can be super effective.
Love it. And then obviously experiment.
Test, try it, iterate, test again. This is all broad guidance, right? This is a good starting point.
It's a great starting point.
Yeah. Thank you. But every product is different, right? You're gonna have to learn. And so the best way to learn is to try something and see what happens.
I love it. And then once you have the app, I mean, you can probably just change the country really, really quickly. And then you can see the paywall differently with that change in the country.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Go check that out. All right, Jacob, we'll get some questions in and then we'll hit the app audit. Where is everything? Okay, where's my mouse? All right, carry on. Daniel says, at what point in a new app's life would you recommend adjusting prices per country?
When you feel like you have you're happy with your price point in your core market, and you've kind of done optimization there, that will always be your kind of largest opportunity. Yeah. And so, but then, you know, then you can try adjusting other markets. I think also like you need to start somewhere, right? And so like Apple and Google's price points are bad. Bottom line, this is a better starting point.
Agreed. Why is Apple bad at suggesting prices? You would think they would want to suggest the best strategy in order to drive more revenue for them. Agreed. But, you know, Apple's trying to keep it simple too, because they,
All right, 303. Apple works on a lot of things.
Yeah.
They don't care. Doesn't matter.
It's not going to make that big of a difference for them. 303 says, how do you think about free trials? If you have a good freemium product with some additional niche paid features behind a paywall. We kind of talked about this, but.
Yeah. I think about
trials in general.
Jacob. You should do them. You should also try not offering a free trial. You should also try no trial with a great freemium experience. I think there's a lot of opportunity there for without trials. I think that it's more similar to like a hard paywall strategy, but like, you know, you probably want to have a better freemium product in that case if you're not going to offer a free trial.
Yeah. It's a point in time. I mean, I would generally lean towards having a free trial for most apps, almost all apps. We've just seen it convert better, but at the same time, I have seen apps do pretty well without trials either. So you don't have to play around with it, but generally speaking, have a trial. Okay. And then Besties was like, hey, I was just watching your video and noticed you were live. I'm here. Good to have you, Besties. All right. Lucas says awesome content. And then Dave loved the point that you made, discount on web purchase is a great idea.
Yeah. Web purchases, they're going to convert lower than in your app. And so we've seen it effective to offer discounts on those web purchases because you take home more revenue there that you're able to offer a higher discount.
Love it. All right, Jacob, we're going to pause here and we're going to do some JAD jokes and get into our app audit round. So let's get that going. All right, we got one. So we're doing one winner takes all, Jacob. All right, bro. You're the guest. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
I can go first? All right, here we go. I only have one too. Okay. I don't have strong ones this week. Here we go. Let's get make sure my finger's working. What do you call, Jacob, what do you call a reluctant potato?
What do you call it?
A hesitator. All right. What do you got?
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
What?
Well, take a guess. What do you think?
Jacob, go ahead. It's your, I am with arg.
No, it'd be the C.
All right. You wanted me to do that. I like it. All right.
That's part of the joke. Yeah.
All right. I love it. So put S if you thought my joke was better, put J if you thought his joke was better. And then next MAU, Jacob, drinks on the loser. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, cool. Let's get into the app audit. If you want my feedback and my guest feedback on a future live audit, live stream auditing your app, well, just go to appmasters.com/audit. All right, Jacob, we got some votes coming in. Thank you guys. This is the great crowd. I love you guys. All right, let's get into Meg's app. She's got this app that I will pull up and then we'll take a look at her app as well. The all-in-one app that takes the guesswork out of parenting. So it's Parent Sense. I'm going to go to the App Store as well. Hopefully this goes. Oh, thank God. What is this? AZZA. What is that? You know that country code? I don't either. We'll have to look that up. ZA. What's ZA?
South Africa. Who knows in the
That's what I was going to guess too. That's what I was going to guess. All right.
I didn't guess.
So here's. I just pulled it. Oh, you pulled it? You know for sure. That would have been my guess. Let's keep it in South Africa then. All right. Parent says baby carrot. Anything on the screenshots that you want to give Meg some feedback on?
Copy is a little small. There's a lot of copy on those screens. I think you want like usually bigger, bolder headlines. Like, because right now, I think the video is solid. But like, I think the images of the baby are great. But maybe a little more stylized in terms of the video. Like there's a lot of data and stuff there. I didn't really know what I was looking at. Right. And so kind of a little more exciting kind of core features that are easily understandable just by watching 3 seconds, maybe. Mm. And then like, you know, for my view right here, you know, I'm I can barely read the text. You know, maybe it's a little small on my screen, but also you should look at your screenshots from far away. Hold your phone like 3 feet away from you. And if you still can understand everything and take everything away, that's good, because people only glance at it for a second or two. And so you want things to be able to be absorbed super quick.
Yeah. And I mean, Meg's at South Africa. So welcome. I won't try a South African accent. That's one of the harder ones for me to detect. But I agree with you, Jacob. We have seen that too, like shorter, really like big text works better. And Meg, what we found too is leading with your primary keywords. So if it's parenting wisdom or baby care, leading with that helps anecdotally a little bit with ASO. If you're trying to, you know, if you're in the top three and you're trying to get to the one, it's not going to go from 121 to number one, right? But so helps with the ASO. And obviously when people are searching for, or you've already talked about a certain thing like care for your baby, milestone tracker, and you put it in the screenshot, they know, okay, I am where I need to be, right? Like I search for this term, I am where I need to be as well. So
a quick thing also, you don't need app. You shouldn't have app in your title. Apple automatically, like for any searches, you're losing keywords. Like everyone knows it's an app, right? You don't need to tell people it's an app. And so you're losing space where you could put other keywords in that title. It's kind of redundant.
Yeah. I don't mind it. If it helps with your ASO, keep it, but I don't mind it.
Well, I don't think it will help with your ASO, because Apple automatically appends app onto like any search.
I've seen sometimes it does. So that's okay. Why I'm like, I don't mind it. Yeah. Sometimes it won't. You're absolutely right. But one of our clients did call it app, and then he still ranks pretty well. And the cool thing, Jacob, is when people, the Google searches, let's say they put baby
for SEO, for web searching, that's fair. Yeah.
All right. So Meg says install to subscribe rate has dropped to 3% since we started freemium and change onboarding journey. How do we increase this while keeping CPI at 150? Well, those things are separate, but your CPI, you'll handle that. But yeah, let's get into 3% is, yeah, you want to get it a little bit higher than that. So let's get into the app and see what we can help her out on. Jacob, all right. Meg, what time is it in South Africa? It's got to be a little bit late, early evening. All right, Parent Sense. You've got this. Just talk over me as I go.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm seeing the push notification first thing, like that can perform well, but usually you want some welcome at least a little before that. People can and just reflexively tap that, and it can work. I think that this overlay is probably too early, right? Like I don't really know what the app is about, and so
yeah,
I know it's Mother's Day, but it's probably too early to show that in the app experience. Like, I'm a bit confused, and then it's not quite an intuitive experience. I was about to press sign up or log in, and then you just block my experience, and I've got to figure something else out. You've got this. What do I got? A little more welcome, like, hey, here's who we are. Here's why we're different and unique and why you should care. And so like at a base, I love a welcome screen that tells me who you are as an app and a product and why you're different or better.
Yeah, agreed to. And Meg, I like that you're supporting. I know parenting is hard. Are you a parent, Jacob? You got any kids?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So I am, I've got two. I've got almost a 16-year-old and an 11-year-old, but I like that you're supporting me. I know parenting is hard. A lot of times I'm always questioning whether I'm doing the right thing or not. I have no idea. It's sort of like being a founder as well. I'm like, I think this looks right. But if most people are getting started, which I'm going to assume, then go ahead and just put get started as the primary focus. Like you got this. We're here to support you. We're the parenting app that does X, Y, and Z, right? So that's another way of still maintaining like a hit of this positivity. I'm all about this, by the way, cheering people up, making sure they feel supported, all that stuff. But yeah, just get them
like this perfect your baby's routine. That could be the first screen.
Yeah,
like that's perfect. Great. Because like, is that the core value that you want people to know? Okay, great. Let's make that what people see initially.
Yeah, you could almost go straight into this, Jacob. That initial screen just not necessary. I mean, you could, Meg, if you can, if you want, you can even make that "you got this" as a last thing, that right there. All right, you got this, and then go, and then you ask for a sign up.
I like that. Yeah.
All right, Jacob, on this screen, I'll let you talk first before I go, because I've got
some. Yeah. I don't think I've seen enough information to want to sign up. I don't really understand the app yet, and so it's also like, this is a very busy screen. Like, if first of all, I would try leading with a single sign-ons. It's on an iPhone. Put Apple big and center. People can just tap that and come through easily. Make email a secondary option. Also, you have double password. Like, I mean, it doesn't seem necessary. But if you're going to require that, have it be separate screens. So enter their email. Next screen, enter their password. Next, and then confirm. Right. It's just less cognitive load on people.
Right. I love it. So, Meg, a few things here. We A/B tested this with a client. I had this thinking suspicion that continue with Facebook, Google, Apple would perform better than sign in with. And so we did see 10 to 11% increase in signups when you just change the wording from sign in to continue with. Because it just feels like you're just continuing on the journey versus sign in feels like, sign up kind of in a way, like a chore. The other thing I noticed, and the number one metric that I would look at, Meg, is your paywall views, because you're going to lose 100% of the shots you don't take. So here's a presentation I did at APS San Francisco at Promotion Summit. Great conference, by the way. They're worldwide, but check them out. Anyways, we had some onboarding screens. It was a fitness app. They had a hard sign in, just like you do, Meg. And then they showed the paywall next, which was hard as well. But what we did was just flip the two. That's all we did. We're like, hey, we'll just ask them to pay first before we ask them to sign up. And here's what happened. We saw the paywall views go up from 40 to 94%. And then we saw 100, pretty much 3x improvement in trial activations. And then 52% increase in sales. And I know what you're thinking, but I need their info. I can't, my app breaks. Meg, here's what happens on Calm. When you activate your trial, they ask you to sign in. So you can still have a premium experience while forcing people to sign up, and then force them to sign up after they activated a trial as well. All right.
There's no really problem with forcing them to sign up. That's completely fine. No problem with forcing account creation, but yeah, just do it later.
Do it later. Yeah, do it later. And I don't mind it because, you know, you want the email, right? Just like Jacob and I talked about, you want, email is a great platform. I never checked this email, so my Yahoo. All right, hello. Oh yeah, this would be great, Meg, too. Jacob, what do you think? This would be great to ask before the sign in and even the paywall too.
Yeah, this should be the first thing that shows up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your welcome screen.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You have more line here. Yeah. I'll be Jacob, soon to be parent. And I don't know if you are, but I just put that. All right, US. Are you one of our corporate partners? No, but I'll click next. Baby's due date. I'll just pick my birthday next year. Jeez. Is this too soon? You're like, you're not pregnant yet. All right, fine. I'll pick my mom's birthday. February 1st. Okay. Go ahead, Jacob. You say it. What's missing?
I'm a little overwhelmed. People don't like to read. Don't make them read. There's just so much here. What out of these buttons, like, what do you want someone to do first?
Yeah.
You probably know what you want them to do first. Then just get them right to that. Is it, you know, what's the core value that really differentiates your app? Get them to that as soon as possible.
Oh, it looks like she's selling. So this is a little bit different from what I was expecting, Meg. So it looks like you're selling. Oh, the home changed, by the way, too. I'm glad to have you here. Routine. Okay. I would love to have this in the very beginning, Meg. I mean, you're promoting your books, I think, which is fine. But I think This is cool. So it doesn't look like there's a subscription on the app, if I'm reading this right. And it looks more like it is. So like, where am I upgrading? Nope. So it looks like you're just selling courses, if I'm right, Meg. Jump in anytime if you're there. But I don't see. Let me go to the app store.
I think this is the good indication, right? Like, we're confused about what's next, about what we want to do first.
There is subscription. Okay. Well, if there is subscription, Meg, if you want people to subscribe, you should show the paywall. I can't even find your paywall right now. That's what I'm looking for. I wanted to give you feedback on paywall. But again, if you're selling courses, great. I can see all the courses here. Look.
Maybe when you start course, that's when you.
Yeah, it looks like it's a checkout, but I don't see the paywall at all. Maybe here. Yeah, I don't know. Meg left. It's 6:50. Meg is in the UK. Okay, I have no idea. So you guys tell me. I mean, you guys were in the comments. You stopped responding. But let me know in the comments where the paywall is, because I want to give you feedback on it. Because to increase your conversion rate, one of the best practices is show your paywall during the onboarding. And I don't see it at all here.
Yeah. And yeah, generally, like saying, move those questionnaires.
I see. She said, once your baby is born, unlocks and activates a subscription. I like that, but I think you can still, yeah. I mean, I know my baby's away, so let me see if I can change it. And update. Whoops.
I guess then, like, is there value for the app before then?
Yeah.
If there is, then it's still okay to make people pay. If there isn't, then you got to communicate that.
So let's just go today. What's today? May. Yeah.
Maybe go yesterday or something.
Confirm age. Oh.
Okay. Interesting. So it triggers a whole different flow. Okay.
Okay, so here, I would still try to, I don't know, I still would try to show them. Okay, go ahead, Jacob, what do you think about this?
On the paywall?
Yeah.
So, subscription free. So there's a lot of different options, a lot of different products. I would probably, to start, limit it to annual and monthly, and then annual $24.99 per year, $6.99 per month. I mean, so $7 per month is what, like 80 something, and so like the annual is like
really cheap.
Really cheap. Yeah, so I think like save 42%. It seems like you're saving more than that.
Yeah.
And so I guess what's that saving 42%? Do you want to compare it to your most expensive price to have that biggest save percent number? And I would just list only your annual and monthly. I think that, like, what's the lifetime price?
Lifetime is $60.
Okay. So that seems pretty cheap. For a lifetime, I guess. I mean, I guess it depends how long you think people are going to be using your product, but the monthly subscription is more expensive than lifetime. And so, like, do people only use the product for 1 year? Then maybe you want to push everybody to lifetime.
Yep.
And so I guess it'd be, you know, understand, I need to understand the business a little better and kind of, I think, yeah, you can go, Steve. Yeah.
So here's what I would do. So what we have data on is, and this is Adapti and Superwall said this, three plans convert the best, right, Meg? And I don't know who's in here, but it's apparently not Meg. Parent Sense is here. But anyways, I wanted your intake on the, so I would say put the three plan. I don't mind your lifetime, but I don't even mind four. But right now, the things that I would change is nobody wants to subscribe. You're using words that people don't want. And so don't put subscribes like, hey, free full access to unlock all these premium features because you're giving them a trial. Change this from subscribe to continue. We did that for a client on the web. We saw a 30% increase in sales. Remove this free section. Talk about all the benefits that come with unlocking a subscription. If you put free, and we have data on this, then this might be enough. You're telling people this is good enough. And so you're not going to get people to subscribe. And then lastly, when you do this where I have to scroll, now I'm comparing prices really difficultly. Like difficult, that was the wrong word. I'm trying to still speak English, but I can't compare the prices easily, Meg. I have to be able to compare the prices. Jacob and I did the calculation and we know the yearly is cheaper, but you make it so hard for me to compare all the prices. List them out in rows rather than columns. And lastly, I would change the free 14-day trial to a 7-day trial. We've seen 14. Generally speaking, it's all different for all apps, but generally speaking, 14-day trials tend to lead to a higher trial cancellation rate for some reason. So I would say spend the bulk of your time on this paywall. Show this paywall if on the onboarding, which I'm assuming you do. If I had an infant, you can show this, but I would still show it. It's like, get ready for your infant. Or if they're that far away, I was a year away, so I get that you didn't want to show it to me, but maybe I still want some of the premium features that you have. So anyways, and I would just still
they also just said that lifetime is the one they push most.
Good. And make it the top one. That's fine too.
But like you're saying, I can't see lifetime. I have to scroll all the way over for.
Yeah. So if you're trying to push it, it doesn't seem like you are.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like you are. All right. So work on that and then let us know. You better let me know. Meg Jr. I don't know who's in there, but all right. Try signing up in there. Okay. Let me go into some questions. How are you on time, Jacob?
I've got to run in a minute or two.
Okay. Well, I will cover the rest. So I will stay on and I'm going to let Jacob go. Jacob did win. So I owe you a drink, my friend.
Okay. All right.
Congratulations.
Make sure to meet up. yeah. I'll make sure to redeem.
Let me plug you and then I'll get into the next app audit. So guys, Jacob was extremely awesome. He does do consultation. So if you want to learn more about how to really retain your subscribers, what kind of strategies work best, do rewarded onboarding. Does that work really well? Or you just want free, great content from Jacob regarding retention, especially with subscription retention, go check out retention.blog, and connect with them on LinkedIn. All links, both those links are linked up in your favorite podcast app if you're just listening to audio and into YouTube description as well. Jacob, anywhere else you want to send the audience before?
Nope, that was awesome, Steve. If you ever want to chat, connect with me on LinkedIn, shoot me a message and I'll get back to you. Go to retention.blog, leave me comments, leave me feedback. Tell me what else you want me to write about. Really enjoy the content creation, enjoy creating valuable content for people. So let me know what's valuable to you.
Yeah. Russ Channel said, hey, I will reach out. So look out for Russ.
Jacob. All right. You better, Russ. Right. I'm looking for it.
All right. Thanks, Jacob.
All right. See you, man. Thanks, Steve. This was awesome. Bye.
All right, guys. Something new. I'm going to keep trying this. Let's try. That's all I'm here for. All right. It's just me and you right now. And we will get into the next app audit. I don't have any other jokes. So if anybody else has a joke, put it into the comments and I will say it for you and deliver it in the best way I can. All right. So for the 100 users, here is the tips. I will get to some of the other questions too. If you had a meditation app, how do you get your first free 100 users? So here's what I would do. If you can afford to do this, do a lifetime offer. Okay. Make a lifetime offer. 303 experience. Make it for free. Run in on app advice. Or if you don't want to do it, so here's the app advice campaign, lifetime for free, okay? You will drive tens of thousands of downloads that way. And that way you'll get your early users, you'll see what they're doing, you'll hack the ASO as well, and you'll get more ratings as long as your ratings prompt is shown during the onboarding. So lifetime for free gets you the over 10,000 downloads. Now, the other way to do it is to do it through a 30-day trial for one of your subscription plans. That'll probably get you 2,000 to 5,000 downloads. but this is one of my favorite services to use, App Advice, and it is free to run. You just have to give a promo. So a 30-day trial on one of your subscriptions, or my preferred method, if you can do it, do a lifetime offer for free, and you will hack a lot of things. ASO, all this stuff. We have a case study that I'm going to record a video, maybe right after this live stream, but on the like my favorite case study of this year, walking you through this exact growth hack. Okay. So look out for that. Any metrics on name your own price paywall? I'm actually doing this 303 experience. So I'm doing this right now with my app. I'll share with the data. I haven't pulled the numbers yet, but we had a normal discount that was like 50% off. Now we did the name your own price. So I'll give you that data. Let me pull that data for our own app too. Felix is here. I love this YouTube channel and I love you for loving it. Thank you, Felix. Appreciate you, bro. All right. Felix says, what are your top short tips to increase the amount of downloads? I think I have a great app, but I'm only getting about 10 downloads a day. Felix, follow that same advice I just did, that just talked about. And I will create this video, promise you, right after we hit record, right after I'm done with this live stream. I'm going to create that video to show you how to really, really do it. Okay. But work on the ASO. Look, go on YouTube, go on our channel, say fastest way to six figures, or simplest and fastest way to fix six figure your app. We've done it. And so look at that to walk over the ASO strategy and then wait for this other video about the growth hack, the lifetime advice. But we did it. We took an app that was making about a couple of $100 a month all the way to 7,000 within the first month. Now it's settled into 5,000 all organically. So really cool case study. All right. Let me see. Lucas says, I'm finishing an app about exam learning study in 30 days. In this case, it's best to create trials in 30-day period plan or maintain it in 3-month plan. I would still do 7 days. I would still do a 7-day trial regardless. Okay, let me see. So is 3% conversion rate considered too low? 3% is not bad, but it depends on how you define conversion, because many people have different ways. So if Meg and ParentSess is saying 3% conversion from install to paying customer, that's really good. Average, not really good, but that's good. The average that Apple reports is 2%, 2 to 3%. You're right on average. That's install to paying customers. All right. And this is my favorite spreadsheet. A friend of mine, Seb, said, Steve, I love your spreadsheet so much because I don't share this publicly. He's like, I recreated it for my own. So you guys can recreate this too. Just pay attention to, I have all these things just to compare it. Like, hey, this is my app, one of my apps. Like, we're not part of that relationship anymore, but this was one of my apps. But kind of like what Jacob said, right? So this is what you want to do. Like, what is the trial activation rate? Let me blow this up for you. How many downloads? It just doesn't matter. Let's just put 100,000 or 10,000. All right. So you want to try to aim for 5 to 10, but let's say you're getting 10. For a niche app, and with a hard paywall, you might get up to 13%, right? But only 30% are staying on. So your subscription conversion rate is 4%, right? So there are ways to hack it, right? Like, kind of like what Jacob said, this could be 5%, but this is 60%. So now your conversion rate is 3%, which is on average. So that's how you sort of think through all of this stuff in this data. The yellow ones are the ones that I feel like I can control, right? So that's why they're highlighted. And LTV or average order size is the easy one to think through. Okay, let me go back to this. All right, here's a joke. Ready? Thank you, Opera. I love you guys. All right, here it is. You want it? You know what? You want to hear? I butchered it. Redo this. You want to know a joke about construction? I'm still working on it. There it is. Thank you, Abra. All right. Okay. Another one from Uris. Why did the app designer cross the road? Because there was no onboarding journey. All right. Sorry, Uris. I totally butchered that. All right. Let's get into the other app. I'm like, enough with these dad jokes, bro. All right. Thank you, Nurex. Steve, happy to see you again on live stream. Yes, I was at my daughter's camp last week. And so it was no vacation. Certain clients were like, were you on vacation last week? I was like, that was not a vacation, dude. All right, here we go. This is suggest me about paywall and ASO. Nikhil. All right, Nikhil, let's go into ASO a little bit more. I'm going to change. Whoops, that's Jacob's slides. Is this it? No, this is it. All right, here is Wendy. Screen mirroring to TV. Love it. Look, with Google, because it's Google, I do know from an SEO perspective, leading with the keywords, like all websites will lead with the primary keyword versus their brand. So I'm going to pick on Amazon. Let me see what I've bought. I don't know if I'm going to reveal anything to you guys, but let's just say I love these poppy drinks. So if you look up here, oh man, let me just pick on these guys. Oh, bad example. If the title generally has the keywords first versus the brand. Amazon's a little bit different. I guess they can afford to do this, but most brands will have the keyword that they're targeting and then their brand afterwards. So that's something to think about right here. The video, let me see if you are optimizing it. One of the things I do on the Google Play side, look, what I found is for Google Play, the title and subtitle are the highest, right? Like you can try all this like keyword density and a long description. I just feel like it's fruitless. Like I'm looking for low touch, high impact stuff. Like I don't want to continually have to optimize stuff all the time. But with this YouTube video, we have seen this work really well. What I would do is just change the thumbnail a bit to talk about the highlights, add that, because it does show up right behind and it does show up in the search results too. So add a cool thumbnail. And then let's see if usually my vidIQ stuff has some things about your YouTube video, but YouTube videos have tags on them. So within those tags, use some of the main competitors that you want, like Chromecast, screen mirroring, all that stuff. And here, how to cast your smartphone to screen to TV. I would probably just put Android if this is more Android specific and not iOS specific. Lean into that keyword, right? But you can have Chromecast or you can have some of your bigger competitors in your keyword field for YouTube. So it's kind of like the iOS keyword field, but for your YouTube video. And I can't find it. Okay. So I don't know what keywords you're using in your tags. They're called tags right here. So it looks like maybe these are your tags here. All right. Yeah, just focus on the title and short description. That's what I would typically do. Mirror your phone. Even try testing this. Google said this was years ago, but like the keywords here in your screenshots are being sort of indexed. So try screen mirroring if that is the main keyword you're going after in your screenshots right there. Okay. All right, Nikhil, let's get into the app itself. Close this. Let's see what I can give you for paywall. Now, paywall, before I even see anything, what I would say is Android tends to convert less. So you probably want lower pricing on the Android side than the iOS side, right? Doing an ad already. I don't even know where to tap, frankly. Okay. Personally, I wouldn't do this yet. Okay. Mirror device, like it. Single click, like it. Let's get started. Okay, ad. Yeah, I would just show the ad after this paywall, right? Again, three plans work better than one. My client, shout out to you guys, they don't put code premium now. Like nobody wants to subscribe. I can't believe I still have to say this. Okay, I've been talking about long paywalls performing better, Nikhil, and I appreciate you. Maybe you followed my advice. What I would do is if long paywalls are not performing is kill this features table. And we have seen it work better without a features table. Because again, to my point earlier, maybe this is enough. This is enough. Cool. I just want a screen mirror for one time. Wi-Fi auto connect. Cool. Perfect. That's all I really need. Like for me right now, I don't need any of the premium features. Like forget it. I don't need it. So nobody wants to go premium. Just say continue. Three plans convert the best. And what I meant to say for the other client who just told me, they're finding that rows are converting better than columns. So instead of showing columns here, maybe show rows and then do 1 month, have a cheap plan, the subscription plan. This could easily be a monthly and then a yearly and then a lifetime. And that's it. And then hit continue, not go premium. Nobody wants to do subscribe or go premium. Just hit continue because it feels like they're just continuing along their journey. All right. I like the little deal side. Doesn't really feel like a deal yet. I wouldn't do this yet until I hit X and then maybe show a deal here. Right. Now it's the time if I hit X off of that, show me that pop-up interstitial. That's fine with me. And I don't mind this ad too. So here, when I tap this, maybe show me a discount with all the your urgency stuff with the 13 minutes. Because if I showed intent, I hit the crown to say, I do want to upgrade. And then I looked at it and I was like, I don't want to upgrade anymore. Boom, I hit X. Then it's a great time for you to show a paywall there. But cool app, really work on that paywall in there. Okay. Any questions for me? By the way, that mustache is fire. Thanks, bro. All right. And then Bordell says, I'm going to watch your videos improve downloads and with ASO now. Thanks, man. You got it, Bordell. Okay, he has one. Do you know why Michael Jackson doesn't sing the American hymn? Why, Bordell? Jamie says, App Gonsfree requires 5 reviews, so not suitable growth apps or brand new apps. Jamie, if you can't get 5 friends to leave you a review, you got a bigger problem, bro. 5 reviews should be easy for everybody, okay? So yes, thank you for that, but you got to get 5 reviews should be pretty easy for everybody. All right. Should you launch an app with a fake? Okay. This is a great question by Searchy. Should you launch an app with paywall at first to gain some initial users? What do you guys think? Of course you should. Launch a hard paywall. You want to test. Look, is this a hobby or a business? Because if it's a business, you got to get people to pay. So yes, absolutely do it. All right. If you don't like the app, you want to know. All right. Let's see. Hey guys, does paywall minimalism equal higher purchase rate? Russ, if you're wondering if like the design of a paywall, having it I'm having trouble speaking, minimalistically, and does that increase conversion rates? Look, it really depends. I think it's not about minimalistic as more of like highlighting your primary features. I mean, obviously design it well, don't make it look ugly, but even my cluttered paywall was converting, right? So it wasn't the best. And I was like, this spacing is off. And I told my developer to change it after I saw it. But yeah, even that was converting really well. So it doesn't have to be pretty. It just needs to really talk about the benefits and have those best practices. 3 plans, lead with the benefits, ultimately have a trial, show your plans in rows versus columns, etc. All right. How do I send? Oh, come on, Bordell. I'm not even going to say that. The end of your joke. How do I send my app for an audit? appmasters.com/audit. We do have a long wait. appmasters.com/audit if you want it for free. All right. 7 says, did you see new keyword features in Play Store? What do you think about them? No, I didn't. So I'll have to talk to my team 7. I have no idea what you're talking about. I think you're talking about the custom. I think I saw it on LinkedIn. Somebody talking about this with different pages and stuff. Might be the CPP, but I'll have to double check on that. Maybe it's a keyword meta field. That'd be cool. Finally, Google. Okay. If you got nothing else, that's it. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining week in and week out. Honestly, it means a lot to me. And then for next week, we've got, a friend of mine. He's going to talk all about, he's an app business broker. I love him. My clients have used him in the past. And we're going to talk about how to really properly set your app up for success to exit. If this is not something you want to do forever and forever and ever, well, you're going to learn how to sell your particular app. If you got any questions for me, make sure you leave a comment below because I'm going through all those comments to answer your questions and create new videos as well. All right. Yeah, different pages. Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't worry about that too much. So 7 was talking about, yeah, different pages. I think it's fine. It's kind of like a nice to have. Again, I like to focus on the things that are going to actually move the lever and not all these like cool little gadgets like everybody else does. All right, that's it. We went long, but thank you guys for staying this much longer. I will see you guys next week. Have a great weekend. I'm back for a very long time. And so you should see my face every Friday. All right, thank you for joining me every Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific. So make sure you set your clocks, 9 a.m. Pacific. I'm going live with the awesome guests to answer all your questions. And lately, I've been testing this out. I'll let the guests go, and then you and I can talk a little bit later. All right. Till next week. Have a good day. Talk to you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the App Masters podcast. For show notes and amazing app marketing content, check out appmasters.co.